Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday.
Hello, Rob.
Hello, Kevin. How are you doing?
Oh, you know what? I'm all right. Actually, it's a beautiful day. I'm enjoying
it.
It's like a nice breeze. It's a little overcast. We go for walks every day because Crawford, my son, and we like to get out for a little bit. So I took an hour-long walk today, and it was lovely. At 9 o'clock in the morning, lovely, because I wake up at 6.
I know. You're up early. Sometimes I'll get text messages from me from like 6 in the morning. I'm like, what are you doing up so early? Then I remember you have a kid. You have a kid.
That's why. I said to Crawford when he's like, hey, let's go hang out. Wouldn't that be fun? At least the sun's up. So I, you know, and he's the cutest kid in the world. I mean, who wouldn't want to hang out with him?
Would he be okay if I called him Michael Crawford, or will he have a problem with that?
What's that?
Can I call him Michael Crawford, or will there be a problem?
Depends on which Michael. If it's a funny thing happened on the way to the forum, the movie Michael Crawford, I can accept that because, you know, or Hello Dolly Michael Crawford in the movie. But
not Dance of the Vampires.
Or even Barnum Michael Crawford, but definitely not Dance of the Vampires Michael Crawford. Oh, my God. Get away. Listen, why would you ever give an actor the power to decide things in a show? Why would that make a producing like a smart idea? Why would that be, hey, you know what we should do? We should let the lead actor, we should just like give him carte blanche and like let him just decide like what the tone of the piece is going to be. Yeah, because that's a great idea.
Sorry, Michael.
Wow.
Kevin is irate. Kevin, did you see Dance of the Vampires?
Oh, yeah. You better believe I did. Oh, my gosh. What a fun time. A very good friend of ours, actually, both of our friend, our Mark Price is a very
Mark!
Good friend. I love Mark, and he's in a lot of great, you know, flops. We should actually talk to him because he was in The Cape Man. That was his debut. But he was in Dance of the Vampires, and he told me, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but I'll say allegedly, that he tried, because John Rando was the director, if you remember, and Mark said that he, because he was the featured lead in it, it was like Max von Essen, him, and then Mark was like the funny guy. Mark said he always tried to get out of every scene that he was in. He would cozy up to John and say, you don't really need me in this scene, do you? You don't need me. I'm pretty good.
That's great. Less stage time.
Crawford is not Michael Crawford.
That's fine. Actually, I'm happy that you brought up, though, Dance of the Vampires, because, folks, don't forget, this Saturday is our trivia night, and the trivia night, the theme is Not Since Carrie. We are doing, we're basing it on Ken Mandelbaum's amazing book, Not Since Carrie, 40 Years of Musical Flops, it is going to be a blast. It's Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can go onto our Facebook or Instagram to see how you can register to play. Last week, we had 50 people show up, which was amazing. It was a good, good game. Congratulations to Stephen Pike, who won the 1980s trivia. But this week, it's about flops. And now, if you remember, Ken's book came out in 1991.
Right.
So half the questions for each category will be from the book, and the other half will be from flops. Sorry, underappreciated musicals.
Lesser known
since 1991.
We'll still probably stick by the rules that Ken set out. You know, nothing over 250 performances.
Nope.
You know, because, you know, you can't say a show just because they didn't make their money back, there's a lot of hit show, you know, popular shows that actually never made their money back, you know, and they're still considered, you know, good shows. So these are lesser known shows that did not run that long at all. Oh, and what charity are we donating our money to this week, Rob? You probably said, but I forgot.
No, I didn't. Thank you for reminding me. It is for the theater, TYA, Theater for Young Audiences, which, as you know, is it's a way a lot of young actors, once they graduate from college, some of their first gigs, they get to go around the country and they get to tour schools. Kevin did it. Yeah. They get to go and they get to tour schools and they bring the gift of the arts to school children. It's a vital and necessary thing, and it's something that I think that is so important and we want to see it continue. So all of our proceeds this week will go to TYA. Last week we raised $350 for the Society of Directors and Choreographers, which was great. And so this week it's going to be TYA, Theater for Young Audiences. We are very excited. And then I'll just tell you now what next week's theme will be.
Ooh, Rob, I don't even know.
Ooh, I thought I told you.
Maybe you didn't. I forgot. I've got dad brain. I don't know.
Next weekend is when the Tonys were supposed to be.
So of course.
What better theme than the Tony Awards? The Tony Awards will be next weekend's theme. But Kevin and I will keep doing this every Saturday at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time because we love doing it. And it's so fun. Honestly, we've had so many wonderful listeners over the years reach out to us through, you know, email, Facebook, Instagram. But to actually see everybody and to hear everybody, it's really wonderful. And it warms our heart. And I hope that you'll come out and join us.
Yes. And tell them one more time, Rob, how to sign up, just in case it may be a little new on how, because some people don't live on Zoom like we do these days.
Of course. So the trivia is hosted on what's known as Zoom, which is, an app. Which, you know, you can see people and you can hear people.
You can download for free.
Which is, yeah, it's free. It's not, it doesn't cost any money. And so we host the trivia up there and, check out Facebook, check out Instagram, Twitter. And it'll show you how you can sign up. And what happens is you give us $5 and we send you the link to Zoom. And of course, all the money goes to the charity. So we don't keep a cent of it. Go ahead. Look at the books, Mr. Bialystock. That's Kevin and I are actually
doing it. This is all for the love of it. And Rob puts together this keynote presentation that has all these and fantastic old photos, you guys. There's, you know, we it's going to be some obscure stuff, but we like to keep it fun as well. And so even if you don't know a lot of the obscure shows, you're still going to have a good time. There's really great pictures. You know, we'll throw in some anecdotes. I have the piano going, so I'll be playing and I'll be singing some for one of the categories.
Makes me happier than when Kevin sings, because Kevin has an amazing, amazing, gorgeous voice. He plays the piano brilliantly, of course, but he's got an incredible buttery voice. Can I describe it as buttery? Is that okay?
You may, yes, sure. Okay, I'll take great. That. Yeah.
Some people might not know that Kevin sings. But
margarine. It's margarine. Yeah. Oleo. It's fine. I'll take it.
We're talking Land O'Lakes, guys. Yeah,
you know,
Land
O'Lakes good stuff.
And so Kevin will sing. Kevin will sing. So we're very excited by that. So that that is a great time to be had by all. I hope you come join us.
Please do.
But it was just, we love doing that. We also have favorite things for this week.
We do.
Kevin, I'm just curious, is your favorite thing related to a flop? Because that's what our trivia is.
You did that last week. I have a sneaking suspicion that we might, the first time this might happen, that we both have the same favorite thing, because I can't believe this has not been a favorite thing yet. And I actually can't believe that I never knew this existed, this favorite thing of mine. And yes, it is most certainly related to, in fact, my favorite thing would not exist if Ken Mandelbaum's book, Not Since Carrie, did not exist.
What? Wow. What I don't know what this is. What is it? Is it a book? Is it a website? Is it a video?
There are videos. I'm going to give you a website. The website will take you to said videos, but the website organ. I am so impressed. I had no idea this website existed. They've organized it so beautifully, and they should be very, very proud of the work they do. You know, one of these individuals very well because you've worked with them.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
For a while. I'm not using any pronouns yet because it would give it away.
Is this something Jen Tepper's done?
This most certainly has something. This is like the OG Jen Tepper project.
Oh, yes. It's on YouTube, or is there a website?
I would go to this website. You're going to type in this sentence. And you're going to think there's one word too many, but it isn't. This is the sentence. If it only even runs a minute. If it only even runs a minute.com. Go to if it only even runs a minute.com. I am so impressed with what Jennifer, Ashley Tepper, and her, you know, partner Kevin Michael Murphy have done. They started this they started researching before, but their first they did a series of concerts, still doing it actually, started 10 years ago in 2010. The purview of this is to celebrate educate and capture the history of a lot of these flop shows, these lesser-known shows, these shows from Ken Mandelbaum's book, Not Since Carrie, and give some context to them and some history to them, and hear these songs sung by Broadway stars. And so Jennifer and Kevin do is they are on stage and they give you the full backstory. They give you like a 7-minute rundown in a very funny comic way of these shows. And I'm talking shows like their very first one was January 31st, 2010. And you go to the website, go to archive, because the archive is where it's all organized. And each archive tells you, they have the concerts listed in order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way down to the most recent concert that's up here is number 17. That was done January 21st, 2018. And in the first concert, for example, they featured shows like A Class Act. So clearly they go, like we're going to do with Trivia Night, they've done the last, you know, couple decades since the book. But then they do A Family Affair. They sing about Dear World, Dude, Fade Out, Fade In, Glory Days, Grease 2, Is There Life After High School, Maryland, American Fables, Smile, Sweet Smell of Success, Woman of the Year, Goodbye Girl, Floor of the Red Menace. And that's just in the first concert, you know, and you click watch the videos, it'll take you to the YouTube channel that will then have all of the concert organized for you in a very, very clear way. But I cannot stress enough, because I was doing research, Rob, for our, you know, obviously for trivia, and the information that they have, you know, unpacked, and it's not just them reading from the book. Yes, she does quote from his book, obviously, because not everyone's read Not Since Carrie. And the information that Ken Mandelbaum has researched is good information. And Jen and Kevin always quote him and always say this is from. But they give you anecdotes. They, you know, they brought in when they did Truckload, they brought back the original composer. You know, this is a flop show from the early 70s. They brought back Louis St. Louis, you know, who wrote Grease 2 and Louis St. Louis, I guess his name. And you get to hear right from him. Or when they did Late Night Comic, there was Brian Gary telling the story, and he's the guy who wrote it, this lesser known show from the 80s, and there he is talking about his experience on it. I knew that they did these concerts. I think I even went to one years ago, but I just did not know that they had archived it in this website in such a beautiful, beautiful way. And I'm just so thankful for the work that they've done, and that it's all there. It's just this huge resource of information that they should be so proud of, that over all of these years, they've stuck to it. I mean, looking at the second concert, and the poster art is Marlowe. And so and theater fans, those of you who know your Carousels and your Oklahomas, there's this another set of theater fans who really love these flops. There are people that just love learning about Via Galactica and Slut and Mac and Mabel. But to hear these songs sung by people like
Slut was actually Mendes, the first title for Mac and Mabel. Excited not to do this.
And this is, mind you, this is 10 years ago. So you're getting a younger Lindsay Mendez. You're getting some of these people before they sort of broke out, you know, and you get to see your Annie Goldens or et cetera, et cetera. These concerts are full of really, really wonderful people. I'm just super, you know, thankful that Jennifer and Kevin put that together. And Caleb Hoyer was the music director for the early on. And I should say his name because he contributed greatly to the concerts.
I'm going to be honest with you. I I worship the ground that Jen walks on. I would not have any career whatsoever if it wasn't for Jen. I had no idea that there was a website. I feel so stupid because I've seen the YouTube videos.
Yeah.
I've been to a bunch of these concerts and they're brilliant. And she and Kevin are so entertaining and so engaging.
There's photos. Yeah. Oh, they have a whole presentation. I shouldn't say they're just talking. I mean, it's like, it is.
Really, no, it's a,
they give true context to these songs. Sorry. Continue.
No, it is absolutely amazing. I had no idea that there were videos. I mean, a website. This is incredible. You have just ruined my whole day because now I'm all I'm going to do is just watch.
There's
all
of this. Hours of content, and it's really, really good content. And yeah. And you can pick the favorite singer you like and then learn about a new show, or you can just pick the shows that you know or a composer that you know of. And I didn't know they wrote that. I mean, there's so many ways in for someone who isn't a big fan like we are to the, you know, lesser known show.
Wow. Damn it. I feel so bad because I love this person and she's a genius and I had absolutely no idea.
Oh, now
there was a website.
Sell it, shout it from the rooftop. So it's maybe it's new. Maybe the website's relatively new. I have apps. And if you guys know when this was started, let us know. But I this is the first time I've run across this amazing website. So
this is great. Oh my God. Yeah. And it's unfortunate they were going to do a Hal Prince one, but you know, COVID happened. And so they weren't allowed to do it. So hopefully they'll do it again at some point. And if you are in New York and you get the chance to go see one of these things, please do so, because they really are incredible. She gets so many of the original performers back and they have such fascinating stories about like what went on and what went wrong.
Shroud of Turin, Richard Blake, who everyone, like, if you're a younger generation, you know him because he was in Legally Blonde. He played, you know, what's his name? The asshole, Warner.
Warner.
And so he was the original boy in the light, the Shroud
into
of
the
Turin,
light.
Into the light. He was the star of it. And so in the clip from it only even takes a minute, he talks about his experience being the lead of this show and what that was like. And then he sings his song that he sang when he was like 16 or 15. It's amazing. Sorry, I totally cut you off. And
no,
I apologize for
no,
that.
My God, I cannot wait. I think this is genius, Kevin. I'm so happy. I'm going to literally be exploring this all day. So thank you. And thank you, Jen. And thank you, Kevin. For putting this together. And
great work.
What I love about what they do is when they go up there and they tell the stories, they do it with no judgment. There's just sheer enthusiasm. And while the rest of us are going, what happened in that show? They love every second of it. It's not snarky.
That's right. That's right.
Easily be snarky.
It's a celebration.
It's a celebration. And who doesn't love a celebration?
I want to celebrate. It's from another lesser known show called Celebration.
That's the title song of Celebration. My favorite thing this week is a book. And so as you know, I'm writing a book with Peter Felicia, called 50 Key Musicals. And so I've been dusting off all my old musical theater history books and doing some research. And I was like, there is a book that I go to time and time again, and I'm going to go on record. I think it is the best book about the history of the American musical ever written. Sorry, all the other folks, but this book to me is absolutely incredible. And the book is called Showtime, A History of the Broadway Musical Theater by Larry Stempel. Once again, folks, it's called Showtime, A History of the Broadway Musical Theater by Larry Stempel. He does an absolutely brilliant job of articulating how the musical has developed from the earliest stages all the way up until today. Well, the book was published in 2010. So obviously, I mean, he hasn't, you know, included the last decade. But what I love about this book, and I think the reason I'm recommending it to you, Kevin, is I feel that when you read a lot of musical theater history books, there's a major emphasis placed on the lyrics or the lyricists. He does an amazing job at going through not only just composers, but how composition changes and compositional motifs that you should be aware of when you look at, things. So I'm holding up a picture.
Oh, he's got sheet music in there. There's actual sheet. Wow. Yeah.
So
okay.
So it's sheet music analyzing how things work. And I think that's incredible. He also, I think, gives a lot of the other thing I like about the book is it's only about halfway through that he gets into like the golden age. Because the rest of the time is just looking at I think a lot of times these musicals, these Cinderella musicals, and these musicals that were formative to helping develop the Golden Age, don't get the credit that they deserve. And when you do read them, I feel like sometimes they come off as so dry. And yes. Mr. Stemple, or I should say Professor Stemple, because he teaches, has done an absolutely brilliant job of this. So the book I would, there's a summer reading coming up, folks. If you're looking for a musical theater history book that's informative, that's engaging, and doesn't feel like you're reading a textbook and doesn't feel like certain positions are being short-sighted, like that of the composer, which I feel like happens so often in musical theater history books, you should take a look at Larry Stemple's Showtime, A History of the Broadway Musical Theater. And I hope that he'll write an edition to cover the last decade, which would include things like Mormon and Hamilton and Dear Evan Hansen. So we'll see. Wow. But yeah, it's been so odd writing this book. I've been going back to so many other books, and it's interesting because some that I remember growing up reading, being like, "I love this book." Now I'm like, "What the? Why did I think this was so good?" And also some that I'm like, when you mentioned like the Bible of musical theater history, like this book, I'll be honest, I very rarely hear get mentioned, and I think it deserves a lot more credit than it's getting. So, folks, Larry Stemple, Showtime: A History of the Broadway Musical Theater. If you teach musical theater, this should be the book that you're assigning your students. And I would love to have Larry on as a guest at some point. It'd be fascinating.
Let's do it. Where does he? Do you know where he teaches?
Yeah, he's over at Fordham.
He's a New Yorker.
He's a New Yorker.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. And his book jacket says he lives in Mount Vernon, New York. So maybe we'll take the Metro North and go visit Larry.
Yeah, I've seen the cover. I never have read it. So I'm excited to find myself a copy.
It's good. And as I'm putting this book together with Peter, I keep going back to Showtime over and over again. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's really fantastic.
It's really great.
That's it, folks. That's our favorite things. So we hope you'll join us on Saturday.
Yes, please do. And come say hi to us in person.
Yeah. And remember, it all goes to a good cause. It always goes to a good cause. All right, my friends.
All right. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.